This afternoon, we open the Word of God both in the Old Testament and in the New. We first read together from 1 Samuel 24 in the Old Testament, and then we turn to the book of Acts in the New Testament and to the first epistle of Peter. But let us first listen to the Word of God in 1 Samuel 24. Page 451 in our Pew Bible. First Samuel 24, this is the Word of God. Now it happened, when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." And Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord.' So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, 'My lord, the king.' And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of men who say, indeed David seeks your harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see. Yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. As the Proverbs of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked. But my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea? Therefore, let the Lord be judge and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hands." So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me, for when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house. So David swore to Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the strongholds. That's our first passage. We now turn to the New Testament, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, the verses 13 through 20. Page 1678. Acts 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Then finally, we turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, page 1856, 1 Peter 2. Peter 2, verse 13, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Then, based on these scriptures, we confess regarding the fifth commandment in Lord's Day 39 the following. Lord's Day 39, with the fifth commandment being the text of our sermon of this afternoon, what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings. For through them, God chooses to rule us. That's Lord's Day 39. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, honor your father and your mother. That's the commandment, brothers and sisters, that's addressing the children in the first place, or so it seems. So, boys and girls, you should be listening really well this afternoon. This commandment requires of you, also the Heidelberg Catechism says, that you show all honor, love and faithfulness to your father and mother. Does that mean that your parents don't have to listen this time? Or will they be staying here just to hear how well I am speaking about God's commandment to you? Of course, that's not so. In catechism class, you may have had your special time of speaking about this Lord's Day, and you expressed yourself about your struggles with this commandment. You shared your frustration about parents who yell at you, don't listen to you, pick at you, and how you have to learn to deal with that. Have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings, as the Catechism puts it. But no, the sermon is not just for you. Also for your mom and dad. Why? Well, they have parents too. Your grandpa and grandma, or opa and oma, or Pake and Beppe, to whom they have to show love and respect. Yes, this grandpa and grandma may even have parents still, whom they have to honor. At least, that's the case with some here in the congregation. I'm sure we're all starting to see already, beloved, that this commandment is for everyone. Our Lord's Day makes clear that not even those great-grandparents are exempted, for there are others who are set in authority over them and us. The Bible teaches that the fifth commandment also applies to others than the parents, to everyone who has a say over you. At home, your father over your mother. At work, your employer, your foreman. At school, the teachers and the principal. In the church, the elders and deacons. In society, the police, the judges, and the government. So we are all involved in one or more relationships in which this commandment requires that we show all honor, love, and faithfulness to those in authority over us. Clearly, this commandment is for everyone, and so also the sermon this afternoon. This is the message for everyone. The fifth commandment is for young and old among the people of God, for children and citizens, for parents and powers, with blessing and judgment. That's how I would like to summarize the message of this afternoon. The fifth commandment is for young and old among the people of God, for children and citizens, for parents and powers, with blessing and judgment. So first of all, the fifth commandment is for children and citizens. When following up on some of the proof texts with Lord's Day 39, brothers and sisters, I came across this well-known story about King Saul and David in the cave. I'm sure many of our children know those stories well. All the times when King Saul and David met, crossed paths, and the king was seeking to kill his son-in-law. In the event we read, we saw David and his men hide in the back of the cave in which the king entered to relieve himself. That's when David's men urged their leader to seize the opportunity and make an end of King Saul's life. After all the misery, agony, and suffering he had caused David, this was his chance to put an end to it. Then David showed such deep respect for the king, honoring him with the words, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." All David does, therefore, is cut off the corner of Saul's robe. Thus David showed his love for the king because the Lord had made him his master, even his father-in-law. Hence David showed that he knew the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother even when they trouble you. Make mistakes or so. When David explained his actions, beloved, he also used an expression that was well known at that time. This proverb denotes so clearly why the fifth commandment is important. Without it, the world would come to more evil, to revenge, to feuding, and so forth. The fifth commandment serves to control sin and misery, to stop mutiny and feuding. Then it's important to hear David address the king, "My Lord the King." Also, "See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand." In other words, "I came that close to you and could have killed you, but I didn't. I did not want to, for you are the king, my father, and I wanted to honor you. Out of the wickedness, out of the wicked proceeds wickedness. Or as another translation has, from evildoers come evil deeds, so my hand will not touch you. Rebellion and revolution consumes its children in the family and in the land. It goes from bad to worse when children and citizens ignore the fifth commandment. Therefore, honor your father and your mother, come what may. David also learned this commandment at home, as we can derive from earlier stories. God will judge between a bad father and his son. The Lord will avenge the injustice a father commits to his children, David says, but I won't touch you. Well, this story, beloved, boys and girls, is a wonderful illustration of the fifth commandment to help you conduct yourselves towards your parents in a respectful way. David did so, even toward the king and father-in-law who wanted to kill him. How much the more we should love, honor, and respect our parents who are seeking the best for us, for you, boys and girls. Of course, the Lord teaches us in his law to love God and our neighbor, but here in the fifth commandment, he requires of us, of you, that we show even more honor and respect to those who have been set over us. This story sure helps to illustrate the patience and forbearance we should have with them, also when we see their weaknesses and shortcomings so clearly. Yes, we are called and commanded by the Lord to show this to father and mother. There should be no difference, even though you may find your mom nicer or dad more respectful. No, there may be no difference. Yes, you must do that also in the event you are right and they are wrong in an argument. Honor them. Show respect for them. And love them nonetheless. Yes, brothers and sisters, young people, this doesn't change over time either. Maybe the relationship changes a bit when you mature and grow up to be 21 or so, become independent and live on your own even. Still, honor them also in such different circumstances. In my premarital classes, we also spoke about the changing relationships with parents when you leave them to be united with your spouse. However, then too, we stress, the fifth commandment still applies. Even when you become father and mother yourself, you are still called to honor them, show love to them, and care for them as their aging process continues. Never forget the months your mother bore you, the times you woke up your mom and dad, or the nights they sat beside your bed when you were sick or had a fever. Honor your father and your mother also when they become difficult or very hard on you, or when they are dementing or in a nursing home. Don't let them feel that they are a burden to you, as they themselves are inclined to feel, as David so wonderfully portrays in Psalm 71. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Love, honor, and respect them, even if it is with a heavy heart and with tears in your eyes. You see, beloved, and it is this understanding that extends to the relationships in our society too. As citizens of our country, we serve the peace and well-being of our land when we honor and respect the government, the police, the judges, the teachers, professors, etc. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established, says Paul, Romans 13, verse 1. We also heard Peter exhort us, saying, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution." 1 Peter 2, verse 13. The fifth commandment pertains to children and citizens, to all in submission to an authority placed over them. Husband over wife, teacher over student, elders over members, etc. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13. This expression, because of their work, could be put as well in these words: because of their office, their calling from God, that is. And it reminds us of David's expression of the anointed of the Lord. Hence we read in Hebrews 13, verse 17, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." And of course, you have many reasons to obey your parents, considering what all they do for you or have done, for all they have given to you in many ways and forms. Yet this is the first and foremost reason: they are the Lord's, for he has appointed them, and as Christian parents, anointed them to govern you. Also, you may have your personal feelings about your elders, but that doesn't justify your being hard on them, being negative and always critical of them. That will take away their joy. It will be of no advantage to you. In fact, it will rob you of your joy of faith as well. When the Lord God created everything, beloved, he also gave relationships between parents and children, forming societies in which he gave authorities to maintain order and peace. He did not create us as individuals, or putting us together in this world as a handful of grains of sand without coherence. No, he made us in clusters and clans, and so gave us to each other to love God and the neighbor. That's the order he restores with the fifth commandment. Do we then always have to obey? Always respect, even when they are abusive or violent or dictators? Well, read the whole story about David and Saul, and you will see that David also took care of himself when the king became a threat to him. Still, he continued to honor him. He didn't harm him, scold him, rebel against him, or kill him. Just as we read in Acts 4 about the apostles and their reaction to the Sanhedrin, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. Later on as well, the apostles continued to call for honor to the governors, to the kings, to the Caesar even. Yet they did not stop spreading the gospel, even at the risk of imprisonment and death. You think that's hard, beloved? It sure must have been. Yet remember David's expression, "From evildoers come evil deeds." The fifth commandment breaks through every impasse in relationships and preserves order and peace. It also forms your character, the way the Lord Jesus showed it before Pontius Pilate. He had learned obedience and respect at home, though he had sinful parents whom he obeyed as he grew in wisdom and stature. Look, 2 verse 52. He fulfilled the fifth commandment, and he anoints you with his spirit to be good children and citizens, and to serve him well as parents and powers. Our second point. The fifth commandment is for parents and powers. Implied in what we have seen and heard so far, brothers and sisters, is the calling and responsibility of those who bear such responsibility. When children and citizens have to honor and respect those whom God has set over them, placed in this office, then it also is by the grace of God that they deserve the honor and respect and should live up to the demands of their task. Thankfully, we still see it acknowledged in birth announcements. We received from the hand of God a healthy baby girl or baby son. But then we should also recognize God's gift of authority in treating our task with care and respect. When I would visit new parents, we would speak about this task extensively. We would also look at the questions in the form for the baptism of infants and come to the conclusion what a wonderful privilege it is to have a child entrusted to you with such a special position and status. And I'm sure that Brother Scotsman spoke about that with you, Arnold and Rebecca, this past Wednesday evening as well. And even though the task seems daunting, believing parents would acknowledge God's promises and look forward to the task. Thankfully, beloved, we have such a head start on people in the world who lack every source of wisdom and guidance to fill in their task as parents. We have God's Word as source of wisdom, instruction, and direction to help us fulfill this task in a Christian and godly way. Although it may seem as if becoming parents is such a natural thing, its execution no longer comes naturally in an effective and edifying way. As I already indicated, we are the anointed of the Lord, and we share in the Spirit of Christ, He enlightens us so that we may know and understand God's will from his word. We also have the assurance of Christ, our Savior, that we may bring the children to him, which we may still do in our prayers and petitions, so that he will bless them, embrace them. This means then, at the same time, that the parents should raise these children in the atmosphere of faith and obedience as prophets, priests, and kings, anointed for a life and service to our triune God. When we are the anointed of the Lord, the aroma of this anointing should fill our houses, permeate our instruction, and be noticeable on our children. When our children are God's children, then also God's care, God's father love, God's words, God's grace, and God's holiness should determine our household, our upbringing, and be evident in our lifestyle. You know, the expression is well known, beloved, when we say, improve the world and begin with yourself. Well, in our Christian version, we could put it this way today. Improve the world and start at home, or begin with your family. That's where it has to be shown the warmth and love and respect in the Lord. Children have to honor their father and mother, but then the parents have to raise the children in a spirit of love and faithfulness according to the word of God. That's not something that can be taken for granted or that will come naturally when you belong to the church. Remember the upbringing of the high priest Eli and how unfaithful he was in admonishing and directing his sons Hophni and Phinehas. It's still a negative example, you could say, to warn the parents that when they do not dare to direct and discipline their children, stop them and stand up against them when they follow the ways of the flesh and of the world, such parents will be held responsible for such negligence and sloppiness. Indeed, the scriptures command the parents, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Parents need to instill in their children's heart and mind the love of Christ and a life in thankfulness for his deliverance. They are to be raised as royal children. Although in a somewhat different way, beloved, this calling and responsibility of the parents can also be translated into the power and authority that others have. They all receive their place and position by the grace of God. And so we should exhort husbands, teachers, elders, employers, and others to carry out their task by the grace of God. We may hold up to them their calling and responsibility also, the way David did with King Saul. Why do you seek to kill me? God will judge and punish you. David doesn't do so himself, but he does hold up the seriousness of such abdication of responsibility to the king. Likewise, we may use the help and direction of the ARPA organization today as they seek to equip us to interact with the powers and authorities God has set over us. Also, pointing out to them that they will be accountable before our ruler supreme. They too have to come to realize that they receive their task from God, be it via a democratic process. Yet, they are the anointed of the Lord. That's a message we may use to remind the employers among us, the teachers, the office bearers, etc. If you are a parent, a grandparent, then be it too, in full conviction and responsibility. If you are an elder, a deacon, be conscious of your calling for the well-being of the congregation. For as we see in the third place, the fifth commandment comes with blessing and judgment. As we have seen in David's words to King Saul already, brothers and sisters, God will judge and punish Saul. And we know that too from the history of Saul, how the Lord toppled his throne and gave it to another, to David even. No, David did not receive it through a coup d'etat, as others have suggested. The Lord gave it to David in his time. Yes, then David also was called and responsible to be king by the grace of God. But in his life as well, God's punishment came upon him when he did not execute the duties of his office in obedience to its giver. In his life as well, the expression came true that from evildoers come evil deeds, and the result was chaos and civil war as it happened through Absalom. It's the same still today, as we see happening in those so-called rogue states, in countries like Sudan, Congo, Iraq, and Iran. We see God's judgments going over this earth time and again, and this is the consequence of unbelief and revolution. Let's not forget, though, beloved, that the Lord gave this commandment, as Paul puts it, as a primary command with a promise, Ephesians 6, verse 2, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Initially, this was the promise of blessing for the life of God's people in the promised land, that you may have a long life in the land the Lord gives you. For us, New Testament congregation, this promise has perspectives to a long life eternally on the new earth. When there is love, honor, and faithfulness in the families, and when there is order and discipline in the land, and when the governments honor God in their rulings, the families and lands will be blessed. That it will be good and safe and prosperous to dwell in such a land, as it will be joyous and happy to live in a family in which the love and care of God in Jesus Christ determines the spirit and lifestyle. What great peace the family enjoys when the children obey their parents and the parents fulfill their office faithfully and steadfastly in accordance with the will of God. That too gives us a foretaste of the new earth where righteousness will dwell. Well, righteousness is obedience and holiness and godliness all rolled together. It's the blessing of God on a life that is in accordance with his will. Beloved, may the Lord grant you all such a blessing in a life of honor and respect to your father and mother, and in a life in which you are faithful in showing your love for God and a neighbor in your office and calling. Amen.